Okay, welcome everybody. This is the Power of Female Leadership series, and we are thrilled to have Laura Oblenis with us today, who has gifted us with her time and experience and her knowledge and so many amazing things. You're going to talk to us about success. And first, I want to introduce you. And so you have an incredible, what I call like a rap sheet, you know, so many amazing awards and experience and just a really successful track record. And I love to share this because I think it's really important for women to also get comfortable talking about their achievements, you know, and not being like, oh, it's no big deal. Like, it's a big deal. So you are the founder of Stiletto and also the co-founder and former managing director of the Canadian Association of University Research Parks. You're going to see if my coffee's kicked in and if I can say all of this right now. Yeah. So you've worked, for the past few decades in economic development and also with post-secondary institutions, right?
Yeah.
And so your work in Stiletto is really around strategic work and strategy, which I was so interested in, and really helping get results for the workforce and really looking at broadening economic development impacts for communities throughout North America.
Right.
So you've got a lot of awards behind you for all of the work that you've been doing. And you were awarded the Startup Canada Female Entrepreneur of the Year for Atlantic Canada. You're a recipient of the Governor General Award for the establishment of the Canadian Association of University Research Parks. You were a finalist for Business Person of the Year for the Fredericton Chamber of Commerce. Oh, I'm going to take a breath. You are also a recipient of the 2019 NBCC Alumni Award and, yay, most recently recognized as one of the top 25 most powerful women in Atlantic Canada. So hello, Laura. We are so excited to have you here. And, you know, it's women like you that so many of us look up to and are inspired by and want to learn from. So thank you for taking the time out to speak with us today.
Wow. Thank you so much. Oh my goodness. What a wonderful introduction. You're crazy. I love it. And it's really great to be here. And it's funny when you and I started chatting, Harriet, about this conversation and your first thought was, hey, we want you to come and talk about, you know, success and talk a little bit about your success. And it's funny because I think, first of all, we all define success differently and success means different things to different people. And I think people that are successful don't necessarily think of themselves as successful because you're never quite there, because it is about a journey and not a destination. If you're doing the right things in terms of really doing something that you love. And so we're going to actually talk a little bit today. I'm going to share some lessons that I've learned over the years that I hope will be a bit of a guide in terms of thinking through how we can accomplish success in incremental steps along our journey, so that it becomes real and palatable and achievable for those that are out there that have passion and dedication to doing something and achieving something exciting in life. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to share the screen and this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about finding a successful path forward in incremental steps. And so this all begins with what's the point. And so Stiletto is make a point. And we are inspired by the shoe because I do love shoes, although who wears shoes after COVID because we're all sitting on our desks on our screens. But it's really because a stiletto has a double meaning. It's about a dagger and a shoe. And as Harriet has mentioned, in terms of the work that we do on strategy and positioning and economic development, it's about thinking beyond the obvious. And as we're working with the communities and companies that we have the opportunity to work with, it's about challenging our traditional thinking and stereotypes. And it is more challenging to stand out than it is to blend in. And so our point in even having the name that I have for my firm is about leading by example and thinking and doing things differently. And in life, I think that we need to be thinking about what is the point in life and in the work that you are doing. And ultimately, things really come down to three things. It's about joy, fulfillment, and happiness. And those may seem like unusual words when we're thinking about success, but our personal joy, fulfillment, and happiness really does drive our success and the outcomes
that we are able to realize in life, both personally and professionally. And so let the journey begin. I want to share two quotes, two of my favorite quotes, because I believe them to be incredibly true. Whether you think that you can or you can't, you are right. Henry Ford, and it is true. And it is about believing of being of the possible and believing that you are enough to be able to do different things. And we'll talk about this as we get through the conversation and some of the lessons I'm gonna share with you, but ponder that. Whether you think you can or you can't, you are right. And no one can make you feel inferior without your permission. And this is from Eleanor Roosevelt. And the whole idea is that it is up to us to believe and to tune out the noise and those that perhaps may feel that you cannot. And this is one of the lessons that we will come back to, but I really want to share that because it's a great quote and also incredibly true, that it is only within you in terms of how you feel. And if others make you feel differently, you need to actually ignore them. And then it's about skating where the puck is going, not where it has been. And this is Wayne Gretzky quote. And it's about forward thinking. And so not looking in the rearview mirror, what's happened in the past certainly guides the possibilities of the future, but doesn't define what the boundaries of our life are and where that could be. And so we've got to skate where the puck is going and be forward looking and anticipating where things may have the potential to be able to go. And so we're going to talk about the top 10 lessons learned, some things that I've certainly observed over time, over the last, 2.5 decades of working in this space. And hopefully it gives some thought, some food for thought as you create the path and your journey forward. And so you need to start with something that you love. And this may seem cliche, it may seem a little too hokey, but I believe with all my heart that it is to be true. And if you are doing something that you truly love doing, you will be successful because it will come inherently natural to you to want to do more, be more, be all that you can be, so to speak. And interestingly, when I began my journey in my work, I started working in shopping centers. And so I worked in real estate and shopping centers for about 11 years, did corporate training, did marketing, did leasing, did all kinds of really fun stuff. I loved what I did. I loved the company that I worked for. It was a time of incredible growth for retailers and understanding, supply chain and how the process of pricing and all these incredible business models worked was really exciting for me. And I truly loved it. And I made the transition and started working in science and technology and in the knowledge industry. And, you certainly look at that and think, oh, that's an interesting sort of transition. And so I guess I looked at it when I left Cadillac Fairview and I started working for the Knowledge Park in the early 2000s. And what I realized is that, it's all about creating an environment for tech companies instead of for shoppers. And I fell in love with science and technology and this new emerging industries of, innovation and technology and how we can actually merge our traditional economies with the economies of the future to help all businesses and all industries thrive. And that's really what we do at Stiletto, is about really simplifying how technologies can enhance the work that we do in all that we're doing in other industries. And so you must start with something that you love. The second lesson is about managing expectations. An interesting quote that a colleague of mine said to me a long time ago is that the greatest source of unhappiness is expectations. And I think sometimes we have these expectations of ourselves or of our peers, and our expectations may be too high or too unrealistic. And so you need to really manage expectations. And so it's funny, there's lots of talk about women can have it all. And if you don't have it all, you're not really succeeding. And I do not believe this to be true. And so, of course, everybody may have heard about, the narrative of, one of the senior leaders in Facebook and wrote the book about how we can all have it all. And I think this sets us up for unrealistic expectations in our life that make it difficult to achieve success because we're not really looking at it in a realistic way. And there was a book that was written by Anne Marie Slaughter. She was an advisor of Hillary Clinton a number of years ago, and actually wrote a counter book to the fact that you can have it all, but not at the same time. And you basically can do three things really well at the same time. And so you can't have your work and be a rock star and your family and have friends and exercise and sleep all at the same time. There's going to be times in your life or moments and periods of time when, you know what, you need to be game face on with work, and you can balance your family and maybe get some sleep, but you're not going to be able to exercise or see your friends. And so you need to, you know, manage expectations, and it's okay. Like, give yourself permission that, you know what, today is not going to be the day I need to sleep 4 hours because I have a deadline and I'm going to be amazing and I'm going to do it. But you know what, I'm going to take a break tomorrow. And so I think managing expectations is a very important factor in achieving success, because when we feel that we are successful, success breeds success and hope breeds hope. And if we feel despair or as though we are failing because we're not hitting it out of the park in every category in our life, well, that's going to hinder our ability to be positive and have that belief that comes back to that initial quote of whether you believe that you can or you can't, you are right. And so if we want to keep that inherently at the core of our being, then we really must manage expectations and pick three and be okay with that and give yourself permission. Establish criteria. And so I think it's really important to be able to look at life really in all aspects around criteria, because life is not always black and white. Life is very often gray. And so in order to create some level of objectivity to what it is that we're doing and help us think with clarity and focus, establishing criteria really does help. And so, you know, whether it's criteria for the type of job that you want to have, the type of business that you want to run or establish, establishing criteria is really important, and having sort of non-negotiable criteria is helpful. I established criteria for my husband, as a matter of fact, in terms of the characteristics I wanted to have in a spouse and the five things that were simply non-negotiable. And frankly, it worked, because I, you know, sometimes we are clouded with other things, and we want to think clearly to be able to build that path forward. And so, you know, whatever it is in life, always come to make a list. And it sounds really rudimentary, but it really does help us to be able to focus and strategically pick the path forward that is going to actually best meet our criteria in an objective way, so that we can stay focused, keep that belief, and move forward in those incremental steps forward in terms of where we want to be. Find a tribe. So this is really important. And a tribe is either, you know, it's a group, it's maybe a group of peers, if you're a business owner, it's a group of peer business owners. If you're in a specific sector, maybe it's those in that sector that understand what you're doing or what you're working in. If you're in the not-for-profit space, it's those that have common interests and beliefs. For me, my tribe is my Research and Technology Park network. It's a network I've been part of for almost 2 decades. I'm actually on the international board for the Association of University Research Parks. It's based in the US. I love them so much. It fills my heart and my bucket to be in their company. Twice a year, I go to conferences where I see them. Everybody has very similar interests, both in terms of the work that they're doing and building innovation ecosystems and helping to drive economic prosperity. I love the conversations that we have. I love the authenticity of the people that I am surrounded with. And it truly helps me think, it helps me think about what I'm doing in my business and how we're helping our clients. And also just in terms of, you know, we do work with people that we like. It is a fact. And, you know, we can't take that away in the fact that you want to be surrounded by people that you actually really enjoy being around. And if you're not, then you need a different tribe. And so finding that tribe and that trust, building that trust, whatever it looks like, you need to have a tribe to be able to work with. Finding mentors and inspiration. And so this is similar to a tribe. A tribe is sort of that network. And as I said, for me, I found that tribe in my Research and Technology Park and Science and Technology network. Mentors and inspiration is also really important. And when we look at how we build up women and we want to see women be successful and embark on positions of influence and leadership. It's about finding mentors that are both men and women. I can certainly say unequivocally that I've had incredible mentors that are also men, and I've had great supporters that are also women. And so I think we need not be afraid of finding those mentors, whoever they are. Mentors are those that have a mutual trust and respect with you and want to actually help you on your journey, whatever that journey may be, whether it's in business, in life, and wherever, because the two do intersect. And if we certainly learned anything from COVID, it is that our lives are intertwined and we have one life. It's not about a business life and a personal life and a professional life. We have a life. And so if we really want to find success in both, we need to be able to find those that support our path for success in life and in our professional work. Because when we are happy and we are finding joy and fulfillment and happiness, that will translate into success in our professional lives, because we will be seeking to be able to find those happiness, those trigger points in our professional life as well. And so we need to find mentors and inspiration. The gender factor. So this is really interesting, because we hear lots of talk, and we've talked about it for decades, right? In terms of the feminine mystique. I know I chose that actually as a book in a book club I once was in, which is a very dry book, but I found it very fascinating. Betty Friedan wrote The Feminine Mystique back in the 70s, I believe. And, you know, when I think we need to ignore it a little bit, and sort of tune it out, because I think if we can pretend that it doesn't matter, then we are less intimidated by it. And so I want to give you an example. When I was I was the chair of the Municipal Government Affairs Committee for the Fredericton Chamber of Commerce back in the early 2000s. And this is actually where I met my husband, because he was a city councilor. I know, we're so romantic. Our first date was the State of the Province address. It's quite a love story. And so interestingly, at this meeting with the Municipal Government Affairs Committee, I was surrounded. There was maybe, I don't know, 20 people at this meeting. And my friend at the time leaned over and said, "Did you realize that you're the only woman in the room?" And I said, "No." Like, I actually looked around and then I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's really interesting. I had not even noticed." And I think that has served me well, because I don't really care who's in the room. I am not intimidated. I do not even give it a thought, because everybody is just people. And whether it is people that you meet in a position of power or influence, those that are in politics. I once was at a meeting for Startup Canada. We were meeting with Stephen Harper. He's very dry, very quiet and reserved. And, you know, we were waiting on him and we were all posing and waiting for him to come in for the picture, because we were getting this picture done. And, you know, he was kind of coming in and looking in, and I was like, "Hey, yeah, you can come in," you know, making light of a situation and being authentic and being yourself is the best thing that we can do in those situations. And I think that that immediately earns respect, because we're not trying to make a point. We're just in the conversation because we should be. And so I think it is an important lesson, because I truly and genuinely didn't notice that I was the only woman. And I think that if we can just sort of ignore that as part of the noise, because we are in the conversation because we should be. And whether you're the only woman or you're surrounded by women, do not let that intimidate you in terms of the impact that you can have. Because I was actually chairing that meeting, because I was the chair of the committee at the time. And again, it really didn't bother me, and it really didn't matter, because I was the one chairing the meeting. And I think that that's something that we can all channel. I do believe there is a beauty in being a female. And I think sometimes we forget that the softness and the approach and empathy that women take in life and in business is not to be something that we should hide or be ashamed of, because I do think that there is value in that, in finding balance in the value of being a woman. And our generation is becoming so busy trying to prove that we can do what men can do that we're losing our uniqueness. And I think we weren't created to do everything a man can do. We were created to do everything a man can't do. And this is why we need to be in those conversations and in those meetings to be bringing those perspectives. And it's not because, you know, to make a point, it is because it is the right thing to do to create equity and parity in those conversations. And when we do it in a way that is not shoving it down people's throats or, you know, being brazen, it's more unequivocally part of the conversation and authentic in having something to share that is different and unique than perhaps other perspectives, and doing so in a way that brings kindness and compassion to situations. I do think that there is value in that. And I don't think that we should shy away from that. I think, in fact, we should embrace it and harness that. And again, just one last one. Dear optimist, pessimist, and realist, while you guys were busy arguing about the glass of wine, I drank it. Sincerely, the opportunist. And this is from Lori Grenier, the inventor and QVC host of the Shark Tank Investor. I love this. Mm-hmm. And it's really about, you know what, just getting things done. And you don't get caught up into the weeds and caught up in the details and caught up in the politics, because honestly, who cares? It really doesn't matter. And if you can set that aside and be less worried about those things, you can actually get a lot more done, and you can earn respect along the way and move in those incremental steps forward because you are getting things done and creating that value. Define success on your own terms. And success, I believe, someone said this to me a long time ago, that success is about having options. We all define success differently, but if in any moment in time you have options, you have options of being in business, not being in business, you have options of working for an employer or working for a different employer, whatever it is that you want to do in life, when you have options, you have hope. And when you have hope, you are successful, because that is what breeds success, is mindset. And so if you can have a mindset that you have options and that you are never out of options, because none of us truly are, there is always hope and a path to move forward. But ultimately, you do need to think about what your drivers are. Does success mean to you about having power, having money, being the world's best employee, you know, having time, making an impact? You want to change the world? Or maybe it's love of life, or love of your family or your spouse, or maybe it's having balance and being okay with where you're at in life to be able to live the life with balance that you have. That means success as well. Success is not defined by becoming Elon Musk and running, you know, a $1 billion company. Success is about the joy that you feel in your life of accomplishing what you want to, that makes your heart happy. And if that means that's work, that's great. If that means that is being an entrepreneur, that's great. If that means other things or spending time with your family or your friends or a combination of all of those things, it is about establishing that criteria of the measurements of success that will make you happy in life. And that in itself is achieving success, to even be aware of what that criteria is for you and what success is defined as for you. And so that will allow you to create a path and create that focus that you need to be successful in whatever measurement of success it is that you are hoping to achieve. And so I think that this is something we need to think about, because sometimes we have in our minds that success is defined in a linear fashion, but it is not. It is a circle. It is black and white. It is ever changing and ever evolving, depending upon where we're at and the circumstances in our life. And so having and giving permission to evolve that as you evolve as a human being will allow you to achieve the success that you want to achieve. So it's about incremental progress that's forward. And so as long as you're moving forward, that is success. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we wrap up in just a few minutes. So choose a path. So you have three choices in life. You can give up, you can give in, or you can give it all that you've got. And sometimes life is hard, and COVID was hard, and hard for different people for different reasons and at different points over the past few years. And there are days, I'm sure, that everyone's thinking, oh my gracious, I can't do it anymore. And you want to throw in the towel. You can't find a path forward. But the reality is that you can, and every day is the opportunity for a new start. and a new beginning. And so if you have a bad day, which everybody does, you need to wake up the next day and bring that focus back and look at your criteria of what is it that you need to be successful in life and to find joy. And you start again the next day. The journey of 1,000 miles truly does begin with one step, and success is not about the end destination, even though sometimes we may believe that it is. It is about how many times you get back up after you feel that you can't. That in itself is succeeding. And we need to rejoice in those moments, because there's been a lot of those for many different people for many different reasons over the last few years. So give it all you've got, because you've got a little bit more left in you and you're stronger than you think that you are. Ignore the noise. There's lots of people that are going to be out there that are going to be negative, that will tell you you can't do it, that will try to put you down, that will be critical. I get rejected all the time, every day, every day in life, someone rejects me. And you know what? That's okay. Because I take rejection. One of the things I have learned over the last couple of decades, two and a half decades, is that that's okay. And I take rejection incredibly well. And I do not take it personally, because it is not about me. It is about the time. It is about the positioning. It is always about something, and you must ignore the noise. There are people that will be not your champions. They will not be your cheerleaders, but you need to ignore them, because they do not matter. Because they're, for every person that is like that, there are 100 other people that are not. And usually I have learned the folks that are the most critical are envious or insecure or uncomfortable in their measure of happiness. And so their discomfort has nothing to do with your potential. And so you need to ignore them. And so, you know, when there are people that will challenge you or do that, not that we can't, we need to be open to constructive criticism. We need to accept rejection. We need to embrace rejection and learn from it. We need to make mistakes and learn from those. But for the naysayers, it really doesn't matter, because you can find what is within yourself to actually accomplish what you want to accomplish. And just remember, usually when people are like that, it's because they themselves are either insecure or unhappy, or perhaps envious of your path, is usually the case, almost always. Be grateful and stay humble. I think the greatest gift that we can give to ourselves is to be grateful every day, regardless of what that day brings. Because there's always something to be grateful for, whether it is our family, our friends, a small win in our life. I find sometimes when things are hard, or, you know, the hits are more than the wins, I make a list. I make a list of all the things that have been going great. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this has been great. And I make like a list of top 10 things. What are the 10 things in the last 10 days that have been really good that I'm grateful for? And I focus on that instead of focusing on the negative. And it's truly important to have a glass that is half full. And that is not about being unrealistic. That is about being intentional in terms of moving forward in incremental steps and staying humble for what we have accomplished, because, you know, it may be good today, but it may not be tomorrow. And so you need to be grateful for what we have today, because it can change in the blink of an eye. And we never know when we need someone to lift us up. And so we need to make sure that we have the opportunity to be humble, which it leads to the last point, which is to pay it forward. And so the very best thing that we can do, it is a very small world, and we just never know when we are going to need to have a hand up, or somebody to lift us up in a moment when we feel down, and a moment that we need to have some inspiration. And so it's really important to pay attention to other people and to pay it forward, whether that kindness is in coaching or mentoring, young people that are coming up, peers that, you know, you notice that maybe they need to have an ear. Make time for people, even when you don't have the time to give, because it actually gives you about 10 times what you put into it in terms of filling your bucket and your heart. It is very rewarding to give and to be giving. And that actually helps to catapult you forward as a person and a human being, which also contributes to success in life by keeping that in perspective. And so it's really important to remember where you come from and stay humble and pay it forward. So some food for thought as we wrap up. So what does success mean to you? I think if we can leave you with a few thoughts of how you can build your own successful journey, think about your criteria and what it is that it means for you to be successful, and what are your top areas that you want to focus in so that you can keep that focus. And there is no right or wrong answer, because our own personal journey is all very different, and it depends on what your path is and what your drivers are. So define what success means to you. Define what your purpose or your driver is in life, so that you can have a good sense of that. Tune out the noise of what it means to other people, because it really doesn't matter. It's not about other people. It is about what fills your heart and your bucket. And the way we measure success is when you look back on your life in 5 years from now, how will you measure your success? And so, and if you look at it and can look at it as, am I further ahead today than I was yesterday? Am I further ahead today than I was a week ago? Am I further ahead today than I was a year ago? And if you weren't, then what do you need to adjust to be able to change that to meet your criteria? Not what you think others expect of you or expect you to be, but what is it that you look at for yourself in measuring that? And how will you measure it in 5 years? Because that will help you to determine your path and how you can focus now. Our greatest weakness lies in not in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is to always try just one more time. Thomas Edison, and we are grateful for his innovation and inspiration and not giving up, because that is truly what it takes. And there's really three things I think that are the most important. It is about tenacity, which is not giving up, belief, which comes from within, and honestly, love. You need to love what you do. You need to love yourself, and you need to believe in that and not be afraid of embracing that, because it really does lead to a path of joy and fulfillment and happiness, whatever that is that it means to you. And that's what I wanted to cover. And I'm going to throw it back over to Harriet, and we'll have a little chat.
Wow. I am grateful and humbled by everything that I just heard. I have like 5 or 6 pages of notes I'm furiously writing. So many amazing pieces of advice and things to think about. So thank you. Thanks for paying it forward as well, and being here and having a conversation with us. Whew. I have something that a friend gave to me a couple of years ago. And it says, it's just a bad day. It's not a bad life. And
yeah.
That reminded me of that, you know, that we need to reframe and take perspective, especially when we're going through periods of, you know, turmoil or upheaval, or maybe, you know, we're not achieving success in the way that we had thought, and we need to recalibrate and restart. And so, yeah, so many of the things that you shared with me, I love this concept of rejoicing in our success. And I have a process that I have used over the years. I remember sitting on a plane once coming back from a business trip, and I was just like, and I wrote down a list of all the things that I trusted.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it feels like, really, you know, the weight of everything can feel very heavy.
Too much. Yeah.
I know that my family loves me. I know that the sun is going to rise tomorrow. Like, it's a new day tomorrow, you know, and that kind of stuff can really be grounding and centering. So I think it's really important for us to be reminded that we have more choice, we have more control than sometimes we actually realize. And so that's really a big takeaway that I have here from what you've shared, amongst many, many other things. I loved what you said about other people's discomfort has nothing to do with your potential. I was like, ooh, it's so true. I mean, and as a coach, I find so many of the issues that I work with women, is their concern, their worry about what will people think of me if I'm successful. And we have some context and some mindsets, I would say, around success. We have some money mindsets. And, you know, I know that that's definitely true within my family, like how successful can you be, and just other people's perceptions around that. And I think that you do, you need to cut out the noise and really figure out, what do you want? Because it is your life at the end of the day. It's nobody else's. It's yours.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, when we look at generational histories and how we start to grow and out-earn and outperform, you know, other people, even within our family makeup, I think that that's some stuff that we need to reconcile with and be okay with, you know, if growth and, you know, is part of your career trajectory.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So one of the things, one of the sort of the patterns that I see in women when we sort of look at their career trajectory and I'm sort of standing back and taking a look at it, one of the things that I think women are very good at is getting it done, you know, and getting a lot of things done. And, you know, yes, we are very good at putting our heads down and working through things. And I think we get rewarded for that. We get acknowledged for that. And we build almost a brand around getting it done. And I've heard lots of women say to me when they describe themselves, oh, I get shit done, you know, like that's who I am.
It's so true.
Right. Yeah. That's true at home. And I think it's because we have so many lives, so many roles that we play in our lives. We are faced with that, but there comes a point I feel when you want to, you know, sort of move up, that becomes a liability. Where the amount of things that you are getting done means that you don't have space to take on more. And you haven't really looked up in a while because you've been looking down for so long. And so you don't really know with any level of clarity the direction that you want to take your career. Success has become about doing things for others, or success has become about getting the work done. And maybe that's no longer fueling you in the way that it was earlier on in your career. So what would be your advice to women who might be listening to this and saying, yeah, that feels like me. I feel like I'm stuck. I feel like I don't have clarity. What would you recommend for them to do?
So it's a really interesting question. And I think it's very true. I do think that women inherently are incredibly productive. We see it in our team. You know, we have men and women in our team. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I certainly see it. I see it all around me in terms of how women perform. And we think that in order to demonstrate and earn our worth, we must be doing. And we forget that our brains are also quite valuable and sometimes enough. And so I think it's also about giving permission as responsibilities increase, resetting fairly frequently in terms of doing a bit of a gut check in terms of, okay, so this is what I'm doing now in work. It's not going to take me out of the running if I do less because I'm being recognized and I'm going to be promoted into other sort of leadership roles. We need to give ourselves permission of how that needs to be structured to be successful in that role and in life. And not be afraid of it, because I do think that that is a difference between men and women, that men are less afraid to pivot in terms of their role and function as job positions and responsibilities change. And so I think for women, if we could look at it in the sense that, let's say you're a woman, you've gotten a promotion, you're going into a new role. As you go into that new role, develop a little bit of a plan of what needs to change in that role and the value that you're bringing, and not be afraid to sort of put that on the table in your negotiations when you are going in for those positions, because you're likely getting things done and being recognized and promoted for getting those things done. But it doesn't mean that your employer has an expectation that you're going to still get all those things done and be in that leadership role. But I think women are afraid to sort of say, this is great. What's the expectation? And I would like to be able to train my team to be able to think like that may be part of your role as a doer in going into those leadership roles, is to have that knowledge translation of building the next individuals who will take on some of those responsibilities. And so I think having the courage and not an aggressive, you don't need to do this in an aggressive way. It can all be done in a way, but it's a negotiation. And I think women are not great at negotiating, because I think we're so wanting to demonstrate that we're capable, that we don't want to push back because we don't want the opportunity to be taken away. But I think we don't even realize that employers and bosses will get what they can get out of you. And if you give, well, why not? Right. I mean, it's not like they're going to say, oh, stop that. But it's not like they're also going to say, you're no longer qualified for that role because you're not doing it. And so you're going to, the more you give, others will expect, and that's okay. But if you want to have the balance and do it in your own terms, I do think that there is a way to simply negotiate that in terms of, if you are accepting a promotion, what does that mean in terms of expectation? And who is the team that's going to be on deck, and the roles that I have here, how will that be adjusted? And this looks great. And here's how I'm kind of thinking about the position and the value that I can bring in this area. Is that in line with what you're thinking? And if that works for you, that's fantastic. Then I can kind of build up my team. And so just even having, instead of being afraid and sort of taking whatever we're getting in terms of a promotion, because we're afraid that it will go away, you know, having the conversation and setting it up on terms of this is how I can continue to have an impact, and the role that I want to be able to have. I think just having the courage to have the conversation and build the parameters around it would help with that, because I do think women do get sucked into a bit of a vortex that you take on too much. And then back to those five things. So you're taking on more responsibilities with work, and then you're thinking you still got to balance your home life and your family and your friends. And then everybody's burnt out because it's too much. Like and it's not because you're weak and you can't do it. It's not possible. It's totally not realistic to take on more and more and more and not have something give, right? Something's got to give. And so I think permission, courage, conversation, and negotiation, because, you know, I think that we need to understand our worth and value. And if you do, then you can have those tough conversations and negotiate it, because everything's negotiable. Everything is truly negotiable. Everything is negotiable.
I read somewhere recently that men negotiate at four times the rate that women do. And I believe it. You know, whether
it's, and it's confidence. It's 100% confidence. And, you know, the wage disparity, if people believe that is still there. And in some fields it certainly is. You know, men probably ask for it more than women. And so it's not as though companies are being, you know, unkind. I think it's just that, you know, businesses are trying to be profitable, and if people don't ask for it, then you don't really get it. And so, you know, and most companies don't generally offer it without being asked. And so but it's confidence, it's confidence and abilities. And it's, you know, having the tenacity to just say, you know what, and again, in an arrogant way. You can do it in a way, women have to be careful, because you can't be obnoxious or arrogant about it, because that reflects poorly, unfortunately, on our gender. You have to do it in a very diplomatic, intentional, thoughtful way. But if you do it in those ways, that has more impact than how a man may be. You have to change your approach, right? Instead of being aggressive as a man would be, and I'm not just doing it any other way. With women, you can be assertive without being obnoxious, but you don't want to come across as being, oh, that's one of those, you know, feminist women, because that's actually not the case, right? And so again, diplomatic, confident, intentional, thoughtful, I think gets you the same that you need to get to in that approach, as opposed to being the aggressor, because I don't think the aggressive way works for women.
Well, and I think it's the bottom line with all of this is none of this is possible unless you really have clarity around what success looks like for you.
That's correct.
Of course, you're not going to negotiate for a salary or for better working conditions or for extra resources.
Right.
You haven't strategically paused and take it the time out to really think about where am I now and where do I want to be and what are the incremental steps that I need to take in order to get there. And so that's even why I think it's more important that if you are finding yourself taking on more, you need to give yourself time and space, like strategic time out to do this.
That's right.
Because it does take, it takes time to sort through. It's not a tremendous amount of time, but it's a never ending process of like recalibrating and reassessing where am I now and how am I doing? And like pausing to look up and being like scanning the situation, you know, and what's really going on. So,
well, and again, your brain is your IP. It's not just what you're producing. It's what you have the capabilities of thinking and figuring out how to do. There's tremendous value in that, because again, that can be knowledge that can be translated to build a workforce that can allow you to, and workforce is a huge issue right now everywhere, like throughout Canada, US, globally, it's a problem everywhere. And so I think don't underestimate the value of your thinking as much as you're doing, because I think that women sometimes underestimate that, because they think in order to be able to be recognized, you need to be demonstrating to do. Mm-hmm. But I think that giving permission to step back and be thoughtful and strategic is also of tremendous value.
Yeah, beautiful. So well said. Thank you so much, Laura, for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was so great. And
anytime. My pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm going to pause our recording now. Thank you so much.
Thank you.